there are various types of sermons. There are sermons that are preached to correct a problem. There are sermons that are preached just for general knowledge. There are sermons that are preached to admonish someone to do something or to try to influence them to do something in a particular way. But this morning, I want to share with you a lesson that is entitled to do nothing more than encourage and give you hope. And perhaps there might be some sort of influencing factor there as well. The lesson this morning is why I want to go to heaven. Why I want to go to heaven? Do we want to go to heaven? The story has been told many times, and you've probably heard it recently, but the story goes that the little boy was in class, and the teacher was asking the children in the class, how many of you want to go to heaven? Everybody raised their hand except this one little boy. He didn't raise his hand. And the teacher asked again, thinking maybe he didn't hear it. Said, well, how many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. And everybody but this one little boy raised their hand. Three or four times she went through this, and the teacher finally asked this little boy, she said, son, did you not hear the question? Don't you want to go to heaven? And he said, well, yes, someday I do, but I thought you meant right now. Well, the fact of the matter is, sometimes we have that kind of an attitude. We want to go to heaven, but we don't want to go right now. We're not ready yet. We're enjoying this world, and we don't want to go just yet. To some degree, I think that's understandable, and I don't think in some ways there's anything wrong with that, but it's possible that we can get to enjoying this life and this world and the things of this world so much that it does become a sin for us, that we are hung up on the things of this world to the point that we don't even really want to ever go to heaven. We don't think heaven could be any better than what we've got going on here. And if that gets to be the case, we need to rethink it. And I want to give us some points today to remind us of why we should want to go to heaven. What is it about heaven that is so desirable? 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2, the scripture reading that was read, says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And so we know that heaven is up there. The Bible teaches very clearly that there is a place called heaven. And we're going to look now at some of the reasons that I have, and hopefully that you have as well, for wanting to go there. First of all, I want to go to heaven because I want to be with God. God is there. That's where God is in heaven. We learned that from a very early age. Well, God's in heaven, and the little children, where is God? God's in heaven. We know God's in heaven, and we want to go there to be with Him. I want to go to be with the one who loved me so much that He was willing to send His Son to die for me, as John 3:16 tells us. I want to be with the one who loved me so much that He was willing to come and become flesh and sacrifice Himself on that cross. And that's Jesus. My Savior is there. I want to go to be with the one who loved me so much that He gave me His Word, the Bible, to guide me to that place, as a roadmap, to lead me there, and to comfort me along the journey. I want to go there because God's there. I also want to go there because of the reward. We read there in 2 Corinthians 5, that we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So no matter how nice the house you live in here on earth may be, even those that live in the million-dollar mansions, those eventually are going to rot, crumble, get termites, burn down. They're going to be destroyed eventually. But we have a house in the heavens that is eternal. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'd go to prepare a place for you. The book of John, chapter 14. We've heard that one many times. There's such a wonderful place there that we can have to live. A home, a mansion, much better than anything we have here. There is that great reward awaiting us. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Verse 12, then he says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Great is your reward. He didn't just say, you know, you got a little reward up there. It's not like getting a piece of cake after dinner. It's not like mowing the yard for a dollar. He said, great is your reward. It's not just some little reward. It's a great reward. Something worth having. Something to look forward to. A great reward. And there as well we have that inheritance. That home that is ours that we can inherit. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Mentions this particular inheritance that we have. Look back to verse 3 and begin there. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance." Now notice what it says about this inheritance. Not just any inheritance. You know, a lot of people have an inheritance that I remember there was a big deal when Elvis Presley's daughter turned 21 and she received that inheritance. You know, an inheritance that you receive on earth, though, all sorts of things can happen to that. You can waste that. You can lose that. It can be stolen from you. You know, there are all sorts of things that happen. But notice what it says about this inheritance, verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible." That means it won't ever rust. It won't ever wear out. Undefined. I mean, there's nothing bad about it. It's perfect. You know, I think all these rich people that have these mansions, you know, and even no matter how nice the place is, no matter how much money you have, no matter what you've got here on earth, you can always find problems. There's a problem. Well, if you're a multimillionaire, then boy, you got to pay all these taxes. You know, you got to pay. If you've got a big fancy house, then you got to worry about somebody breaking it. But this is an undefiled inheritance. Don't have to worry about any of those things. It's perfect. And it fadeth not away. And then he says, it is reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved. Now the wonderful thing about a reservation is that you know that no matter how long it is between now and the time you actually go there, it's reserved. One thing that we have to remember about a reservation, though, is reservations can be canceled. We looked at that this past week. We had a reservation for a particular hotel, and we called back later in the week and found a place that was going to be cheaper. And so we canceled that reservation at the first place. We got a new reservation at the second place. And then when we got there, they wound up giving us even a cheaper rate than what they told us over the phone. So we wound up, but we had that reservation and we canceled it out. We have to be careful that with our reservation for heaven, we don't cancel it out. We don't want to cancel that reservation. We're not going to get a better deal anywhere. Now, the devil may advertise some wonderful deals on his reservation, but it doesn't work that way. The advertisement that God gives is true. You know, we have in our country the idea of truth in advertising. The devil doesn't care anything about truth in advertising. He's not going to advertise his place accurately. He's going to tell you that it's better than it actually is. I remember the old quote. I cannot remember where it came from, probably something Shakespeare wrote. But the man in a play of some sort, and he said, it's better to rule in hell with the devil than to serve in heaven with God. But it didn't work that way. The devil doesn't get to rule at all. He's going there to be punished. He's not going there to rule, and nobody else is going to get to go there and rule. People misunderstand. They've been tricked by the advertising. But God advertises things as they are. This great reward, this inheritance, this house, eternal in the heavens. And then, of course, there is a rest awaiting me as well. 2 Thessalonians 1. And verse number 7. Go back to verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So when Jesus comes back, he says, those of us who've been troubled in this life, who have been persecuted for doing what God wanted us to do, when Jesus comes back, he's going to give us rest. Going to be able to rest from our troubles. There's a rest awaiting us there. What a reward that is. There's nothing when we've been out working hard, physical labor, and we're just exhausted. There's nothing is better than to be able to come home, rest, to get a glass of ice water, and to sit back on the couch or in the recliner or to lay in the bed and just rest. Nothing's better than that. What a reward that will be after the troubles and turmoils of this life. And then, of course, there is the eternal city of God awaiting us. Hebrews 11 and verse 10 speaks of that. There also, as way of reward, should be, could be, a treasure awaiting us. Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 20. Jesus says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's a treasure there for us if we've been laying that treasure up in heaven. But if we've been laying up our treasures here on earth, then when we leave this place, we're going to leave our treasure. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Do you want to be in heaven with God? Is your treasure there? Or is your treasure here? You don't want to leave it. There's a story told of the man who died and went to heaven, and of course a fictional story. We don't know how things are going to work when we get there, but the story to illustrate a point. And he died and went to heaven and met Peter at the pearly gates, and Peter said, let me show you to your mansion. And so he starts him down Main Street of heaven. And boy, there are just the most beautiful mansions that you can imagine, with marble columns out front, beautiful grassy lawn, flowers and gold and silver. I mean, just beautiful. And they keep going on down the street, and finally they turn onto another street, and the man notices as they're going that the houses on this street aren't quite as nice as those back there on Main Street. They're still nice, and he thinks, well, boy, I'd love to live in one of these. These are great. And they go on down, and they turn down another street. And he starts to notice, well, the houses here just really aren't much nicer than the house I had on earth. And then as they keep going and they go further and further, and finally they wind up going down a back alleyway, and there's nothing there but old cardboard boxes. It looks like a stretch of space for homeless people, like we would have in our large cities here on earth. And Peter finally says to him, there, that one's yours. And the man says, what? All those nice mansions, and this is what I get? And Peter said, well, we only have to build what you send up. That's all we can build with is what you send. The man hadn't laid up any treasure in heaven. And so when he got there wasn't anything there for him to have. There was no treasure. We need to lay that treasure up so that it'll be there. Man, I want to go to heaven because of the reunion that there will be in that. As Christians, of course, we are citizens of that city of God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Here Paul says, "For our conversation is in heaven, for from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Another translation says, "Our citizenship is in heaven." We're not, you know, we sing the song, "This world is not my home," or here we are but strayed pilgrims. Do we believe that? Do we believe that our home is really in heaven? If it is, then we ought to want to go there. But not just because our home is there, and we know how much we want to go home. Oh, home is a wonderful place. As much as I enjoyed the seminar and being with all of those preachers and hearing those great men of God teach us those lessons, oh, I wanted to come home. Those hotel beds weren't very comfortable, and you know, eating those meals, it's just not like being at home. There's something about home. But more than just being home, why else do we want to go home? We want to go home because home is where our family is. When we get to heaven, we'll get to meet up with all of those saints who've gone on before and all of those saints who come on after us. We'll get to see Abraham, Moses. We'll get to see Peter and James and John and Paul. What a joy that'll be. What a joyous reunion to get to meet those family members that we never knew we had. I know Printella's big into her family, knowing who her relatives are and everything. I think you have a family reunion sometimes, don't you, Printella? You have a family reunion, you go to that family reunion, and sometimes you meet folks you didn't even know were part of your family. You'd never met them before. Maybe you'd heard about them or read about them, or you knew, well, so-and-so was married, and this was so-and-so was our long-distance relative. And then you get to meet them, and you say, "Oh, God, great to meet you, finally." This is the way it's going to be in heaven. When we get there, and we get to meet all of those saints of old, the prophets, and all of these other saints from years gone by. And what's more, not only those that we'd never met before, that we don't know anything about except through the Bible, or even those that were Christians in centuries past that we don't know anything about, or Christians that are Christians now around the world that we've never met, but also we'll get to meet those Christians that we knew, but who died before us. We'll get to see some of those loved ones that left this world and went on to their reward. We get to be reunited with them, to spend eternity together, never to have to be separated again. Never to have to be separated again. Oh, what a wonderful reunion that will be. We're registered there. We can have the assurance that when we die, we get to live there and enjoy those blessings. The only way we can have that assurance is by getting registered and then staying registered, not canceling that registration. I want to go to heaven because it is a beautiful place. It's beautiful. This world can't compare. Oh, maybe the Garden of Eden could have compared a little bit in beauty, but the world we live in is not the Garden of Eden. Oh, the beauty of heaven. God even could not describe it beautifully enough. There's no way that the human mind can comprehend the beauty of the spiritual place of heaven. In Revelation chapter 21, he describes some of the things about it. He talks about the stones most precious, clear as crystal, and he talks about the streets of gold, and oh, all the beautiful things that he's... It's kind of a sad commentary on us that he had to use things of physical beauty and value to explain to us how wonderful heaven really was. But he describes that to us in that way, and the gate and the walls and the different precious stones, pearl and the gold and the sardius and the topaz and all the things he mentioned there. What a beautiful place it is. And he talks about a garden and the tree of life being there in chapter 22 and the river of life running through it. It's a beautiful, beautiful image for us. no pollution, no smog, no garbage to have to worry about. How beautiful it is. But then finally, I want to go to heaven because of what won't be there. I want to go to heaven because of what won't be there. What is it that won't be there? Well, the Bible tells us several things. One, first of all, death. There will be no death. No more death. Oh, death is one of the saddest things that we have to deal with on earth. But it won't be there in heaven. We won't have to deal with death. Luke 20 and verse 36 talks about there being no death there. We also see that there won't be any sorrow or pain. Revelation 21 and verse number 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more tears. Oh, tears of joy maybe, but no more tears from sadness and sorrow and pain. Have you ever had something hurt so bad that it made you cry? Have you ever had a sorrow so deep that it made you cry? None of that in heaven. It won't be there. There'll be no night there. Revelation 21, 25, and also in 22 and verse 5. 22 and verse 5 says, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. There is no night. That means we'll get to enjoy the beauty without interruption. And then, of course, there is no sin. There will be no wicked people there. We don't have to worry about the things that we have to worry about in this life. The thieves and the murderers. Don't worry about that there. They won't be allowed to come in. And there will be no sin there. Revelation 21 and verse number 27. The Bible says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, the day which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse 8 says that the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and idolaters and liars, there's a place for them, but it's not going to be in heaven. They're not allowed to be in heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? I hope so. If you weren't too sure before, I hope that this lesson has helped to congeal and concentrate your desire on that. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no tears. God is there. Jesus will be there. The saints throughout the ages. Beautiful place to live for eternity. Nothing but good. I can't imagine why anyone would not want to go to heaven. There are some people who don't, I guess. But I cannot imagine what's wrong in their mind that they do not want to go to heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with God's glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there. I hope that this morning you have made the decision that you want to go there as well. Now let's work toward helping each other get there. Try to make sure that we don't miss out on that beautiful place. If you're here this morning and you have not started on the road to heaven, you haven't made your reservation, and you aren't registered in the Book of Life, you need to do that. You need to get your name put into that book. Because only those who are in the Book of Life are going to be able to enter in. The only way to get your name put in that Book of Life is to be obedient to the gospel call of Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be buried with Him in baptism. Wash your sins away and to rise to begin a new life. If you've done that, you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been living in such a way that you are headed toward heaven. Maybe you've believed some of the devil's false advertisements and it's distracted you and drawn you away in the wrong direction. You may need to repent of that and turn back to God this morning. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.